miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hello, everyone. This is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. We've lost Joe for a few seconds. We'll get him back. One of the stories this week was on what you can eat at a youth baseball game. So they looked at kids between the ages of 10 to 18. And Bridget, what did they find?
So they found that the choices, the food choices among the parents and the children at youth baseball fields was less than healthy. They observed a lot of high-calorie food items that the parents were bringing for the children, and that included french fries, candy, and cookies, and a lot of the beverages, or the majority of the beverages, were sugar-sweetened beverages. And 90% of the food and beverage items had been purchased from the concession stand. So the researchers from the study were from North Carolina, and they concluded that while it's very beneficial for kids to be engaging in physical activity and sports like baseball, that it doesn't warrant increasing kids' intake of unhealthy food, and that this kind of food environment at youth baseball could set these kids up for poor nutritional habits, if that could contribute to weight problems in childhood or even adulthood. And so that's just another example of how the food environment is constantly influencing how children and their parents are eating. And it was interesting that they mentioned that they highlighted the sugar-sweetened beverages, because that ties into another story that came out this week from the Obesity Society, which stated that they are concluding that sugar-sweetened beverages contribute to the obesity epidemic in the United States, which isn't anything new, but they conducted a large review that showed that in order to help children in particular reduce their weight problems, that it was necessary for kids to try and avoid sugar-sweetened beverages and to consume more water. So for these young athletes, like the baseball players or any sport, it's really important that kids are drinking water and not soda after they're playing.
So the message was, and Joe, you quoted a really good, if you will, TV show, Raymond, if you will, who did something relating to this on the TV show and seemed to enjoy it. Tell us about it.
Yeah, their kid, Ray and Deborah's boys played basketball, youth basketball, and the kids were, you know, they were small, 5, 6, 7. And it was a responsibility, and it's typical of this, you know, whether it's baseball or soccer or, you know, basketball, for every parent or parents to bring the snack, right, for every game. And they all, that way, if they play games, they would have a snack, you know, at the game, after the game, to enjoy. And Deborah brought all the kind of snacks we're talking about, right, the sweetened beverages and, you know, whatever they had. And they had a coach who was very finicky about what they brought. He was very health conscious, very health oriented, and he wanted the super healthy foods for these kids, and had a run in with Deborah about it. She didn't agree that the kids would eat it, and lo and behold, the kids wouldn't eat the healthy stuff. They wanted the typical stuff that, you know, parents probably bring to these games, but it was just a kind of a back and forth between her and this health conscious coach. And I guess, you know, Bridget, you said that's pretty typical of what, you know, what goes on. I mean, these are the kind of things that these parents bring for these kids for these ball games, for these sporting events.
Right. And the more that it's normalized, the more the kids expect it, and the more they look down, they frown upon the healthy foods. Because if they're used to getting the Oreos and have in past seasons, and the parents are enabling it, then if someone's bringing in oranges, they're going to be like, where's the Oreos?
Well, and it's probably
so it's really about
it's probably hurting the performance of the kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge challenge that comes down to changing social norms. Like we talked about a few weeks ago, and Joe, you were talking about all the unhealthy food items that are offered at ballparks. People come to expect it, and kids are just the same.
Hey, Mike, do you remember drinking, when we were kids, drinking a lot of Kool-Aid? Remember Kool-Aid and, Hawaiian Punch? How much sugar was packed into those? It was just crazy how much.
Back in those days. That's why we all have, those came in the era that we went. And prior to that era, in the 50s, when you look at atherosclerosis in kids, that is up to the age of 18, in studies that were done in the 1950s, 10% of us had atherosclerosis. Since those sugared beverages came in the late 50s, early 60s, that's when Kool-Aid, et cetera, came into being. When they've looked at atherosclerosis, it's now 90% of kids under their teen years have atherosclerosis, the fatty streak starting it. And it's probably mostly caused by the sugared beverages and excess sugar in our diet now.
Yeah, we just drank all that. We drank Kool-Aid and had the Hawaiian Punch and did a lot of that. Before we go to the break and the guest, I want to bring it's allergy season, Dr. Mike. What is the pollen vortex, and what do you do about it?
Well, this is interesting this year because there is so much, if you will, there's been a late pollination season. And what do we mean by that is because it's been damp and cold, we have not had as much pollination of the plants due to that coldness. But now the appearance of both warm and dry weather at this time seems to be causing increased pollen. And so I learned a couple of interesting things we should do because of that. And one of them is that when you come home, you wash your hair. And you say, why should I wash my hair? Well, in this pollen vortex, a lot of pollen settles in your hair. When you go to bed without washing your hair, that pollen is transferred to your pillow. And you breathe all that pollen in, which is why you've got a stuffy nose in the morning. The other reason, of course, is that the mites that are inside your pillow put out allergic compounds. So that's why putting a 1-micron pillowcase or a latex pillow cover is one of the solutions. Another thing which I had known about was whenever you come in your home, take your shoes off as soon as you get in your home because that'll decrease the chance of your pollen being in the home. So let me review. 8% of us have seasonal allergies. This season looks worse for symptoms because of all the pollination at the same time. So, and the two easiest ones, take your shoes off and wash your hair. Take your shoes off when you enter, wash your hair. And then if you're still having a problem, talk to your physician or think about an over-the-counter antihistamine right at bedtime or in the evening so that you can sleep through the night with relatively symptom-free.
I talked to a sleep expert on my morning show this week, and one of the other suggestion he made was to, for some reason, take a shower at night before you go to bed. Also, don't change clothes or get dressed in the bedroom for some reason.
Yeah, so that
I told
the
him
shower
that
at night is the shower at night is the same reason I have is washing your hair is a very good thing to get rid of it. And changing your clothes, if you're going to change your outer clothes, change them immediately on coming into your home. You've got a bathroom near there or something. Change them in that so that the rest of the pollen which is on your clothes doesn't spread to your bedroom.
We'll be back. Radio MD, stay well.